Thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost cheerleader. We believe that, to live by faith. Yes. By faith we live. Yes. And we thank you. We embrace that. We confess that. And we thank you for the might and power of the word that brings faith and faith that brings life. Through faith we live. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That word, the just shall live by faith, is four times in the scripture. The first one's in Habakkuk. If you go to Matthew and you turn back 10 pages, you'll be in Habakkuk, because those are very small minor prophets. Habakkuk was not well known. He's somewhat of an obscure figure. And it's just three chapters. It's well worth reading. And if you have a translation, you'll be benefited. Now, Habakkuk goes to the Lord to ask a question. And he wants to know why evil, the evil Babylonians or the Chaldeans, are running over or conquering Judah. He said, why is that happening? That would indicate that he had an ease with the Lord, with the Father, that he would go and ask that question. You know, there are people you wouldn't even ask them, how come you got on that pink shirt today with those, you know, you just wouldn't ask. Well, he felt very much at home. He said, I want to know why the Chaldeans are conquering your nation. And he goes on to say, the Chaldeans, let me read it to you. I raise up the Chaldeans, which is the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. That's verses 6 and 7. And then in verse 10 it says, they shall come all for violence. They're terrible and they come for violence. And how come you're letting them ruin the nation of Judah? And God is going to answer. If you look at verse 13 of chapter 1, he said, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. He said, I know you God don't like evil. You don't like looking on evil. Why are you permitting this? Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal they deal treacherously. They come, they're violent, they come for evil, they're treacherous people. He wants to know, how come you're allowing that? Now, many a person has asked that about disease. How come this happened to me? And that's a question I can't answer, except the devil's in the world and he does things. And then we go to chapter 2, which is God's answer. He says, I'm going to stand upon my watch. No, he has a place. Pastor talked about that last Wednesday night. He has a place where he can stand and wait on God and hear God's answer. And he said, I'm going to the watchtower. I'm going to stand in that place. And the Lord answered him in a vision. He gave him a vision and he said, you write this vision down. Now, you know, in the olden days, there was no newspaper. A lot of people didn't read or write. And if you had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, the town crier would come by and hit your window so that you'd know it's 6 o'clock. They didn't even tell time. They had a man that told time, that read the sundial and would hit the window and let you know it's your time to get up. And the newsman was a man that went through the streets and shouted the news. And that's why when Israel conquered a major nation, they came through a particular gate and marched through the city with the prisoners so everybody could see they had won. Everything was done on foot, with mouth. Everything was done with words on foot. And so he's at the watchtower. He has a vision. And God says, write that down so the people can read that. And then we go to verse 3, which is very important. The vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, it's not time yet. That's faith and patience inherits the promise. It's not time yet. There is an appointed time. In other words, it's not haphazard. It's not going to come eventually, maybe sometime early, late. No, God says there is an appointed time, but it hasn't come. But at the end, it shall speak. In other words, what God has said, what God has showed Habakkuk in the vision is going to come to pass. He said, this is going to come to pass. Mm-hmm. See, your healing is going to come to pass. Faith and patience inherits the promise. It is coming to pass. That's what God said. This I showed you about the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and why they're conquering your nation. And Hezekiah said, look, we're not perfect, but we're better than Hezekiah. Habakkuk said, we're not perfect, but we're better than they are. Have you ever felt that way? I wouldn't have shouted at him like that. Patting yourself on the back will not bring the vision to pass. Just letting you know that. That won't work. Pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before sudden destruction. He said, the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. And not lie. God never lies. Though it tarry. Now, the word tarries in here twice. It's two distinct, separate words. This first word, tarry, means though it's delayed. In other words, this isn't time, and though in our schedule, we're looking at it, we think, this is taking a long time, God. You know this? This is a really big deal. You need to move it up.
Right.
And when you're in pain, that's exactly what you think. You need to move it up. And I don't know if you've called for a doctor's appointment, but you're 3 or 4 months out. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Wait for it. Do what?
Wait.
Do what?
Wait.
How are we going to wait?
Patiently.
Complaining? I don't know why this happened to me. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry, which is a separate word. It really means it won't be delayed. When the time comes for the vision to be fulfilled that God said that he had given, that time's come for that vision to come to pass. It is going to come to pass. God is going to bring it to pass. There is an appointed time. And sometimes there is an appointed time. For instance, there was an appointed time for the birth of Jesus. It says in Galatians, I believe, it says when the fullness of time was come. When the fullness, see, there was a time for the birth of Jesus. In some events, there's a time for. And if there's a time for the fullness of the event, then we're going to hold fast till it comes.
Amen.
We're not going to be talked out of it. Now, here's the verse we're headed towards. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. This is a man of pride, soul lifted up. The just shall live by his faith. Now, we quote that a lot. We teach that a lot. We always emphasize faith. The just shall live by faith. I want you to see today what happens by faith. What happens by faith? You get to live. Faith brings life. Faith brings your inheritance. Faith brings all that God has paid for. The just shall live by faith. Now, the translators captured this. I'll just read you one or two. This nation is evil and trusts in itself. That's the pride part. But those who do right because they trust God will live.
Amen.
The emphasis is not on the faith, it's on the life that comes through the faith. Those that do right will what? Will live. Then the good news is those who are evil will not survive. One reason there's a delay is God gives an evil people time to repent. He's not going to rescue you and condemn them. He's going to give them time to repent. And when that time is over and they're not going to repent. See, he sent Jonah to Nineveh. Do you know why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? Do you know how they executed people if they caught him preaching the gospel and that didn't suit them? They filleted him like a fish. He didn't want to go. But do you see how quick they were to repent when he finally heeded the word of the Lord? How quick they were to repent. And how mad it made him. That's interesting, isn't it? Those who are evil will not survive, but those who are righteous will live because they're faithful and true. The emphasis is on living, living, living. If you're sick, you want to live. You want to live well. You want to live without pain. If you don't have any money, you want God to meet all your need out of his riches and glory.
Yes.
And we're going to live because we're going to stay faithful to God. We're going to walk in faith. We're going to walk in his word. And my walk with God is going to cause that life to come and to be increased. Now, having told Jonah to write this down, that's what he told him, Habakkuk. I don't know why I got all these people mixed up today. Having told him to write this down, he comes to verse 14. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. He said there's going to be an increasing awareness of God's magnificence. In other words, God's going to show off. Amen. And they're going to be listening and watching. Now, have you ever been where the glory of the Lord fell in a service? There's a two-sided coin. There's shouting to the Lord with the voice of triumph. And if you turn that coin over, it says, be still and know that I'm God. We have to do both. Sometimes we're better at one than the other. Now, I read years ago the story of a church that the glory fell in such a measure that people were still sitting in the church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody left. Have you ever seen that? It's an amazing phenomenon when the glory of the Lord and God begins to cover His people with His presence. This man had dropped his wife off at church, in that church, and he came back to pick her up. She didn't ever come out. So about 1 or 2 o'clock, he decided, I'm going to go in and see what's going on in there, what in the world they're doing. And he went in the back door, and they're not doing anything. They're just sitting there. And the babies aren't crying. The children aren't moving because of the glory. Amen. And he said to Habakkuk, there's going to be an increasing awareness, the glory. God is going to come. His presence is going to come. So we've had that here in a measure. And we dismiss at 11:30. We try to be prompt. And you're still sitting here 5 or 10 minutes before you decide you can leave. And that's because God has come in His glory and His magnificence. He told them there is a time when there'll be this change and correction. But it won't be just correction on the Babylonians. It'll be correction on those in Israel who had not obeyed. There's going to be a time of correction. But He said, my promise of that increased glory, it is going to come. It is going to come.
Hallelujah.
It's amazing when the babies don't cry and the children don't move, isn't it? My daddy always, Mama was in the choir, Daddy was the choir director, and we always sat on the front row, and we were supposed to be very, very still, but we were just little girls, my sister and I. she wiggled. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I didn't wiggle. She wiggled. And Daddy came off the pulpit, took her by the hand, walked her all the way out the back door, and spanked her. And you could see that because this is an old wooden church with windows down both sides. Spanked her. You know the scripture promotes spanking. I don't know if you know that, but it's in there several times. You can't exit out.
That's right.
There is a day of punishment. Mm-hmm. Yep. And brought her back in and sat on the front row where she disturbed the whole church by sobbing. So that didn't really work for him. But see, we're going to increase in faith. We're going to come into the kingdom by faith, and our faith is going to progress. And as our faith progresses, what happens? The life of God, the inheritance of God, is going to increase in our life. And we're looking at the inheritance. We're looking at all the life that God wants to promote in us. And we're not discouraged. Now, he says in the final verse of this chapter, what is it, chapter 2? The Lord is in His holy temple, and let all the earth keep silence before Him. That's what happens most usually in the glory. There is this holy silence. Now, he said earlier, see, the Babylonians had wooden statues, and he said, and they coat them with gold, and when they coat them with gold, there's no breath in them. But he said, the Lord is in His holy temple. That means there's breath. The breath of God is in the temple. God is breathing in this place. So we come because we come to worship. We don't come to take roll check and impress God. You'll never get life by impressing God. First of all, you're not capable of impressing Him. I don't want to tell you in case you didn't know that, but I don't follow Facebook too much, but I'm awestruck by the people they take off the streets who are disheveled and need help, and they do their hair and put them in fresh clothes and so forth. It's just amazing what they can do. You see, and it's amazing what when God is in His holy, He's breathing in His temple, it's amazing what the breath of God can do.
Amen.
Amazing. And He said, there's going to be glory and holy silence, and I'll come and keep my promise. And what was the promise? You will live and not die.
Yes.
You will live. You will live. That was the promise. The purpose of faith was to bring life and fullness of life. Now, if you go to chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk was a I've been reading Hezekiah all week. You can tell that. Habakkuk was a poet, and this is a prayer and a poem that he wrote. And you come down to verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit it be in the vines, the labor of the olive oil shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Everything. This is an agricultural society, and what he's mapping out here is everything's gone wrong. Everything's gone wrong. The fruit trees didn't bear. The flock was cut off. Where's the flock? Where's the... You know, sheep wander. That's why they need a shepherd. They wander. And every now and then there's a sheep that's found. There was one found. I think it had been 7 years they've been looking for him. And he was so heavy with wool that hadn't been sheared that they had to lift him and carry him in the truck and unload him because of his weight, which was caused by sin. And that's what sin, and that's what concentrating. He's talking about a people of pride who thought, we'll conquer these people and we'll ruin these Jews. Yes. And that kind of pride has to be sheared off. And we don't receive from God because we know how well we do, how much scripture we know, how often we read, how often we pray, how many meetings we attend. The blessing of life comes by surrender, not by striving. It comes by surrender. Now, the reason we surrender is because there's great benefits in surrender. So he said, everything's gone wrong. He said, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He said, everything's gone wrong. There's no crop. There's no flock. There's no anything. He said, but I'm full of joy. Why? Because those who walk in faith will live. Amen. Amen. Let me read you the translation again. I'll read you one. The nation that is evil and trusts God will fail. Trust in itself will fail. But those who do right because they trust in God will live. Those who do right because they trust in God. Those who do right because they trust in God. It's their love for God that causes them to walk with Him and to do the right thing. And in walking close to God, you have life.
Amen.
In any measure that you need it. So he says, we're going to rejoice. You remember when we did the lesson on shouting to the Lord? What did we call that lesson? I forget. Yeah. This is my memory over here. It's part of the time. And when did they shout? When they walked around the walls of Jericho? When the walls fell down? No. 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 Don't look at me like that. They shouted and the walls fell at the shout. The walls fell because they shouted. They shouted because they had faith in the promise. God said, if you walk around this wall one time a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day, these walls will fall down. And when the seventh day came and they're walking around, they know those walls are going to fall when they shout. And they shouted. They shouted. Now, the king, word came to the king in 2 Chronicles 20 that the enemy was approaching in mass number. And he said, I don't know what to do. So he called a prayer meeting for the entire nation and said, bring the children. Everybody came to the prayer meeting and nobody ate. And it says, including the cattle. See, part of the time is we're a little lax in obedience. Just a little bit. And one of the prophets spoke and told them God was going to win this battle, but they'd have to be on the battlefield. Now, what a dumb plan. I'm standing on the battlefield. They believed in God's plan. They believed in, they had faith in the word. And the reason they were alive after the battle is because they believed that if they were standing on the battlefield, God would fight. And when they were standing on the battlefield, the enemy killed one another and they were all dead. And you know who led them to the battlefield? The choir. The singers. Why did they sing? You know, if we have a military army and an enemy and a choir, we're not going to put the choir. Choirs, you probably, we don't have hymnals, but if you had a hymnal in the olden days, you probably couldn't even hurt them head in the head with the hymnal. They did that because of their faith and trust. Life victory comes through your trust, not through your effort, but through your trust. Not because you have great mental skills, great physical skills, you're quick on the pickup, you learn fast. It simply comes because of trust. And he said, you got no crop here and you got no flock here, but you should be rejoice. And then he said, the Lord is my strength. He said, you rejoice, the Lord will give you strength. Strength to get to the appointed time. Now, healing is paid for, so today is the appointed time.
Yes.
When it comes to finances, there may be an appointed time. First of all, if the Lord tells me to give you $1,000, you got to wait till I obey. Maybe I don't want to give you $1,000. Maybe I think that's a bad idea, God, you know. But when it comes to healing, the time is now, and your faith is now. And through faith in what Jesus has done, you're going to have the life in your body, in your mind. Life, not just in your spirit. Life is going to come from the spirit into the body. And life is going to be strictly right as your faithfulness to God, your trust in God. It comes through the word, which is the very breath of God. And I'm not trying to earn anything. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. See, when we teach faith, faith is what you read and read and read and what you confess and confess and confess. We tilt over toward works. And more than once I've had people say to me, but I've been reading and reading and reading and saying and saying and saying. And they're trying to tell me they've earned this, but it isn't earned. It's not earned. It's given. It's just given. And because you know that and your trust is in him, it doesn't matter if the trees don't bloom and the flock's all lost. You know, God says, I'll give you strength. My glory will descend. My breath will be resident in my temple. And we are the temple, by the way. That puts a whole different light and a necessary light on the just shall live by faith. Because it comes out, if we don't watch it, the just shall live by everything you do to have faith. Now look at Galatians. So we don't have to do anything. Are you kidding? Well, I'll get back to that thought. Galatians 3, verse 10. My eyes that I had surgery on continue to march towards healing slowly. That's why I can't.
Amen.
For verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. You're trying to earn it, you're cursed. You know why? You can't do it. Well, I was a legal secretary, briefly. And there was a lot I was just new. I just was a skilled typist, and that's why they hired me. But before then, I worked for an insurance company and typed insurance. We used to type those insurance policies in the olden days. And then we had some printed ones that we filled in and we typed in the blanks. Well, when they tested me for the job, they gave me one of those. We got Wayne's mama's old typewriter, you know, ding, 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 ding. You've seen those. Well, I never had typed on one of those. I had the first electric typewriter in Auburndale Senior High. And that's the only one I'd ever typed on. So I didn't do very well. And the man was hesitant. He's not going to hire me. And I said, well, I don't type on this kind of typewriter. I've trained on electric. He said, oh, okay, we got some departments with electric. He sent me back to take my test on the electric, which I did well at. And they hired me. Now, what I'm doing is just what they tell me to do. And if you don't do it, eventually you get fired. So you're earning your salary, right? You're earning it. But God so loved the world, he's not going to fire you. He's going to say, you mind cooling this and let me do it? Because you can't do it. I'm going to get back to work, so don't let me forget. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone, that includes everyone, that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. In other words, if you're going to earn this, you've got to obey every single law, 100%. He's trying to tell them that's not going to work for you. You already figured that out, didn't you? It didn't work for you, did already? Yeah, I thought not. Me too. No man is justified by the law, by works, by regulation. He's talking to the Galatians particularly about the law because they came in by faith, and then the Judaizers came and said, but you got to obey the law. You got to trust in God and obey the law. And he's going to say, you'll never get there obeying the law. And then he said, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. Do you see that word evident? Because this is supposed to be obvious to us. This is supposed to be, when something's evident, it's obvious. The just shall live by faith. Or the just who are faithful to God will live. And you can't be faithful to God without being faithful to His Word. The just who are faithful to God are going to live. Where does life come from? Doesn't matter if you need life in your mind, life in your body, life in your, has your checkbook ever needed some life? Wayne started with the city a dollar an hour, and you can't do much with a dollar an hour. And then he was in the military, and I think, what'd they pay you, $141 a month, something like that? You can't do much with that. We barely could cover our rent and buy groceries. And no matter how much effort you put into it, it's going to be this. It's just still going to be $141 a dollar an hour. I mean, your effort isn't going to increase anything till the end of the year. And what they tally up, most usually what's uppermost in their mind, is not your skill. It's your loyalty. It's your loyalty. I don't care how skilled you are, if you're mean and ugly and you don't show up and you cause trouble, you're probably on the road out. See, and what brings life? It's my loyalty. And because I'm loyal. Now, we have masses of tile in our house. When we did away with the carpet, everything you walk on ruins. Have you noticed that? And I was tired of that, and so we carpeted some places and tiled most of it. Well, I'm not nice to Wayne and do things for him so that he'll scrub the tile. It's a really big deal to scrub the tile. It's a really big deal. But that's not why I'm nice to him. Because if I'm nice to him, he does the tile and I don't have to do it. That's not why I was nice. Because when his breath breathes on me, it infuses life. 58 years shortly, is that right? It's his breath, not his ability, that gives me life. Amen. You see that?
Yes.
Now, when I bend over and scrub the tub, I usually fall in the tub. Not very good at that. And so I do the appliances, the other appliances in the sink and all that. And we have antique furniture in our bathrooms, and so I polish all that. And then I'm going to leave the tub. I'm not polishing it all and doing it all so that Wayne will feel sorry for me and do the tub. He bends over better than I do. That's the truth of it. That ain't why I did it. See, you'll never earn what you need from God. You've been redeemed from the curse. A curse is anything that's not a blessing. Right? But you've been redeemed. Now it says, let's read 11 again. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith. Works. I can promise you something and do something for you because I promised, and there is an element of faith in that. But works generally are not of faith. And it's either works or faith in the scripture. You're going to work for this and fail? Or are you going to trust and live? Do you see that? The law is not of faith. But if you could do the law, you'd live, but you can't. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. He's redeemed you from the curse of trying to earn your way. Christ has redeemed us. He said you're cursed if you're trying to work and earn your way. If you're trying to, you have to keep every law in order for that to work for you. And you can't do it. You've already blown it. Me too. But Christ has redeemed us. He paid the price. He saw we'll never make it working at it. And yet it's amazed me how hard we work at it. Now, Wayne is a family historian. He loves that. And we got pictures of family and pictures of family and pictures of family. And we're connected with the Cumbie historian who takes our pictures and will do anything historically. And I don't care. I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. He wants to know. And so he puts some time and effort into it because that's his desire. Whose picture is that? Well, I can't tell. Is it Leonard? Is it Wayne? Is it Glenn? Usually can pick Glenn because he's a little taller than the others. And one day I said to Wayne's mother, "Oh, that looks like Wayne." And she went, "No." So I, you know when you probably shouldn't say anything else. He's not doing that to earn any points. There's nobody alive that cares but him and the Cumbie historian. It's not earning any points. It's because that's his love. That's his desire because he wants to know. See, Wayne's dad was adopted by the Cumbies. He was a McCoppin from Kentucky. Research proves that out. And Wayne likes those facts. He likes to know all that. And Mr. McCoppin had a brother here in Lakeland that ran a taxi. And when she died, her name was Rachel. He brought the boys, which was Wayne's dad and his sister, to Lakeland thinking his brother would help him. See, Wayne likes that. See, you don't care. And I can remember some of it, but I don't. But it's, I'm not trying to earn anything. He's not trying to earn anything. He's trying to satisfy his heart. He's trying to satisfy his heart. Do you get that? What we're doing in walking with God, we're trying to satisfy our heart. And in walking and trusting him and loving him and letting God breathe on us, what happens? Life. You know what life is the opposite of death? You got that part right. I'm going to shout at you, but that's all right. So, it isn't works. Now, turn back to Romans. It's not works. Said, well, then I don't have to work at it. Do you love God? Yes. Then you do read his word. And you do pray. Because you love him. Not because there's any extra credit in it. You know, in school, because I was an A student, if they offered extra credit, I was all into that. I like extra credit. But you don't get extra credit with God. The credit you have is at the foot of the cross, at the door of the empty tomb, and in the upper room. The credit you get is because you love him. The just who are faithful, who walk in the word because they love God, will have the life, will have all the promises that God has sent to them. The total inheritance. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1, you're in the kingdom of light. And in that kingdom, you have an inheritance. And the testator, the one who wrote the will, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, has already died. Any time the testator dies, then the will is valid and the inheritance is yours now. It's yours now. It says that in Hebrews. Now, Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Where does the power come from? Works? Comes to those that what? Those that believe. There's power for those that believe. Jew first also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now watch this. From faith to faith. From the beginning of faith, the day you were born again, you stepped into the kingdom of God by faith till you progress in faith. Faith grows. The Phillips translation, which is a very old paperback. You can have one of those. They used to be $12. They're excellent. Faith is a process begun and continued. Faith is a process begun. In other words, it grows. It enlarges. And as I read and as I study, my faith grows. And as my faith grows, the life that comes through my trust and my faithfulness grows. Life grows. Now, I like instant. You like instant? Just haven't seen too much of it. We were at a meeting, and we were up in the stands, and it was years ago, and the wheelchair section was down on the floor below us. It was a gymnasium-type building. And the speaker he preached, and he did good. That's just my opinion. And he came down, and he walked back and forth in front of the wheelchairs, and he kept stopping this one wheelchair and staring at this lady. And she just stared back. And so he did that several times, and finally he looked at her, and he stopped, and he said, "Are you going to get up or not?" He's giving her a word that will bring her life. So she's an old lady, and you know what they do? They had her sweater hang around her shoulders. Isn't that right? Remember that? So she had somebody with her that obviously brought her, and she took the sweater off of her shoulder. She handed that person, and she got to her feet. Next thing you know, she's over here on this side of the auditorium. She's walking. She's way over here. What prompted her action? His word. That's why I stay in the Word. It prompts me. It increases my faith. And my faith is not worked or earned. That doesn't mean you can quit working. Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
I've never taught this before like this. Never. It came to me as I was studying. Even late yesterday, I was telling my group, I can't get my lesson together. I tend to collapse in drama. And in the afternoon, it came to me what these four verses meant. Now, it's through the gospel that you get faith. It's through the gospel. And it says, I concentrate on the gospel. Why do I read every day? Why do I pray? Because I love him. Now, Wayne knows me, and he came to the kitchen. This is not unusual. I have to cook lunch some days. If I cook lunch, I'm probably not going to cook supper. And so he came, and he looked around the kitchen. Nothing happening. And he said, did the cook not come tonight? And I said, she didn't. Do you know why there's no food in the kitchen? Nobody prepared it. You know why you don't have an ever-increasing faith in your heart? You didn't prepare your heart. And you didn't prepare your heart because you have a desperate need. You prepared it because the God that so loved the world loves you.
Amen.
And he said, I pray you in my kingdom with eternal life, and I heal your body, and I give you peace beyond understanding, and I meet all your needs, and your full inheritance is with you today because Jesus has died. Do you see that? Okay, let's look at Hebrews 10. Oh, this helped me so much. I don't know if it helps you, but it helps me. It gives it the balance that we've needed. Because for so long, and everything we've heard is true. We've heard read, confess, read, confess, read, confess, read, confess, read, confess, and it puts us in an earned category. And it's not earned. It's not by works. It's not because you read. That explains the pastor told about the people that lived down the street from the church that never went to church once in a blue moon. And they showed up one service, and they came and bowed. The whole family bowed at the altar bench after the church and prayed a prayer and left. Well, they had all been really, really sick. And they left and went home and were really, really well, and they never did come back to church. So they didn't earn anything. But they got something, but they didn't earn it. But they got it, but they didn't earn it. How'd they get it? By the love of God that they had in their heart. That's how they got it. Was it wise to ignore church? No, it isn't. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You're supposed to be here. But you can't get anything from God saying, you know, I was there every service. You know, I was there. Used to in Sunday school in the Baptist church, you know, they give you stars if you're there. They give you a star, and the goal is you right get so many stars, and so you're earning something. But you're not really earning anything. They're just prompting you to be faithful. Well, Hebrews 10. Y'all are all right, right?
Amen.
You're getting this?
Yes.
You're not going to quit reading because it's not earned. Verse 35. No, let's go to 38. The just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. The just who walk by faith are going to live. And he said, don't draw back. Don't retreat. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't say, you know, it's been too long. It's been a long time. I give. I quit. Well, there's some things I'd quit quickly. I just know, you know, they try to help me with the TV controllers. You can forget it. I don't get it. I'm not electronic. I don't understand buttons. One time he said, do this, this, and this, and I did this, this, and this for a month, and it happened. And the next time he said, why are you doing this, this, and this? I said, Wanka, that's what you told me to do. And that always works, but today it won't work. See, they give up on me because I don't have any mentality for electronic, and I don't do the computer. I do type the newsletter that comes out. But basically, I'm dependent on them, see, and when I'm dependent on God to bring to pass, it's not my works. It's my love of God that looks to him. Habakkuk said to God, why is evil winning here? Why is that? And God said, there's an appointed time when the glory of the Lord will manifest and you'll be strengthened in this difficult time where the crops have failed and the flocks have dead. You'll be strengthened. And they began to rejoice because they had the promise, because of faithful God said, I am going to fix this.
Amen.
Now it said they would be strengthened like hinds feet. Do you know about hinds feet?
Yes.
Animals, it's a particular foot, and a deer, antelope, or somebody like that. If you have a mountain that's not climbable, and you have a crack between the rocks that's just like this big, not even as big as an orange, they can put both feet in that crack and make the top of the mountain. Other animals can't do that. And when God talked about you and what he's going to do for you from faith to faith, he said, I'll give you hinds feet. He said, I'll give you the ability to stand and to reach the top of the mountain, your mountain, whatever distresses you in the most difficult circumstances, I'll give you hinds feet. Now we went to, Wayne had business work for the city, and we went to Denver, wasn't it? And we had Joel, he drove part, and Suzanne was in summer school because she wanted to take phys ed and get it over with. And so we left her here with my sister, and we were there, and Joel went to climb the top of the mountain. Well, it's very difficult to breathe up there, you know, so I didn't get out of the car. And Wayne said, we'll wait on you. He's going to wait with me. And Joel didn't come back. So he said, I'm just going to walk to the top of the mountain. There's some benches way up high, and sit in those benches and see if I see Joel. Well, I noticed he sat down long before he got top of the mountain. He couldn't breathe. And he sat there and sat there. And then I'm waiting in the car and I'm watching him sort of up the mountain. And after a while, here comes Joel. He's just he had his driver's license. I don't know how old he was, 17, 18. Here he comes. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't relinquish. He didn't surrender. He went to the top, over the top, down the other side, and he came back because he wouldn't draw back. He wouldn't surrender. He wouldn't give up. The word says, God said, I will do this. He said, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed today. And I have to hold fast to that. Now look at Hebrews. Let me show you a couple of verses in Hebrews about the people of Israel. I'm going to show you where failure comes from. First of all, you can figure that out. If life comes from faith and faithfulness, and faith and faithfulness prompts you to read and to study and to pray because you love him, it's love that's behind faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And everything you get from God is backed by his love and your love for him, not your works.
Amen.
It's surrender. Okay, you got that. Chapter 3, verse 14. We are made partakers of Christ. And when you're a partaker of Christ, you're a partaker of his kingdom, of his inheritance, everything God has done. You know how to be a partaker of a chocolate cake, right?
Yes.
This is a partaker of all that Christ has done. If we hold the beginning of the confidence steadfast unto the end, you can't give up, you can't draw back, you can't quit. The gospel, if you love God and you give your heart to God, He'll bring to pass what you need. And because you love God, you're going to do those things which will promote Him in your life. He said, if you hold the beginning. And verse 15 says, today, when?
Today.
When?
Today.
If you hear His voice, harden not his hearts. As in the provocation, that's the day that Israel refused to go in the promised land. Now look at verse 18. To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? They had the word, they didn't believe it. But if you believe God loves you, then you believe His word and His love is going to heal you. Because that's what He said. He didn't come to set up a system of works. He didn't come so you could earn His favor. And He said, you can't give up. And then if you read chapter 4, verse 1 is great. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into rest. Well, is healing rest or torture? Disease is torture. Healing is rest.
Yeah.
A promise being left us of entering into rest. Any of you should seem to, do you see that? You can come short. But it isn't works that makes you come short. It isn't because you didn't earn enough credit that you came short. You came short because you quit loving Him with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's how you came short. And then it says, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Who mixes the word with faith? Said, I thought faith comes by hearing. Well, that's what Romans says. But this says you have to mix faith with what God has said. Faith in what He's promised. Faith in what He said. This is the appointed time. This is the day. You see that? Takes the pressure off. Then your response to God and your hard work is prompted by your love for Him. Not because you're trying to earn extra credit. Right? Everybody's got that?
Yeah.